Welcome to the Marketplace Roundtable podcast. We speak with Seeking Alpha Marketplace authors about their investing styles, their views on the market, and their favorite investing ideas. I'm your host, Nathaniel Baker. Before we begin, a brief disclaimer. Seeking Alpha is a website where authors from around the world share their ideas and analysis on the stock market. The Marketplace is our platform for authors to run investing analysis and idea services so that readers can take their investing to the next level. Nothing on this podcast should be taken as investment advice. A full set of disclosures will be provided at the end of this podcast. For reference purposes, this podcast was recorded on Monday, November 25th, 2019. Today, I am joined by longtime contributor to SeekingAlpha.com, Robert Halver of Hidden Dividend Stocks Plus. Now, Robert has been active on Seeking Alpha since 2009 and a professional investor going back to 2000. He's the founder of the Hidden Dividend Stocks Plus, which is a premium research service here on Seeking Alpha. A subscription to the Hidden Dividend Stocks Plus research service gets you exclusive ideas, direct access to the author, and exclusive access to the subscriber community. You can find out more on Seeking Alpha by searching for Hidden Dividend Stocks Plus. There is a free trial available as well as a 20% discount for people who sign up now. Okay, let's get into it. Robert, welcome to the podcast.
Good afternoon.
Good to have you. Let's start off, and why don't you just tell us a little bit about your investing strategy?
Well, what we do is look for undervalued, undercovered dividend stocks in the media and other income vehicles with strong businesses and dividend coverage. Some of the ideas that we pursue are informed by the business or macroeconomic or even lifestyle trends, which we feel will have ongoing tailwinds. That might include subsectors or niche industries such as, believe it or not, salmon farming. So the ongoing healthier eating trend is a real boon for certain salmon farmers. We're all going to keep eating more fish. So that industry has been expanding each year for several years. And we, as a result, one of the core stocks that we put in the Hidden Dividend Stocks Plus portfolio is a company called Marine Harvest out of Norway. It's the world's biggest salmon farmer.
Very interesting. That's really interesting right off the bat. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you for examples of, it sounds like this is heavy on idea generation, your whole service. So before I ask you more about that, about the salmon, can you give us some examples of some others or just how you go about researching things, how things come on your radar, and how you then turn that into an investable idea?
Well, sure. But other ideas might include, let's say, trailer parks, for example, and what's the best way to gain income from them? Or what's a good way to get income from Amazon? Mm. That's a real kind of can of worms there. It's just not so easily discoverable. Mm. There are stocks that we have in our portfolio that address those kind of issues.
Okay, interesting. What's a key lesson that you've learned by doing this over time?
Income investors need to have patience. So for most people, they spend their professional career building up funds and so on. Then they begin to retire and they go into a different phase. So when one goes from growth to income, it's a totally different ballgame. You go from buying and selling, looking for capital gains opportunities, perhaps, to trying to achieve steady, dependable income with a new set of rules for success. So two other tips I would offer would be to, one, keep an eye on your watch list stocks and always try to keep some dry powder so that you can take advantage of market pullbacks on your watch list stocks.
Interesting. Is there anything this year that you've learned in the markets?
It was all about the Fed. Mm. In the fourth quarter 2018, the Fed's direction on interest rates was a major factor in that 20% market pullback. So any stock that could be impacted by higher rates sold off, including some very secure preferred stocks, REITs, and utilities. Why? Because the market playbook says to sell those type of stocks in a rising rate environment. But then suddenly, after Christmas Eve, the market perceived the Fed as being ready to put the brakes on future rate hikes. Then suddenly, those dividend stocks and other income vehicles began coming back with a vengeance in 2019, having really outsized gains.
Hmm. And is that still what you're monitoring more than anything else?
Well, now it seems that the Fed is on a neutral to dovish interest rate path. So the main driver of the market right now is the trade war. Mm. If we finally get a signed deal, we could see the market take off again. Mm. But in addition, there's a seasonality here. Mm. We're in the best time of year for stocks. November through April has been the best performing period of time for the market during 1928 to 2017.
Mm. So you're bullish here then for the next couple months?
Depending on that trade war outcome, which seems to vary, you know, day by day.
Mm. Interesting. Talk to me a little bit. So as far as sectors are concerned, is there anything that you would stay away from or anything that you, I mean, obviously the income, as you mentioned, income generation is a focus, but that can be found across a lot of different sectors.
Right.
So is there anything there that you kind of do to limit your universe?
Well, you know, as you say, certain sectors are better for dividends than others. You know, tech being the worst, you know, they're basically tightwads there. But they spend all the money on growth. Okay. But there's even many mature companies in the tech world which should be paying a lot more. However, we do have a vehicle in our service that yields 8 to 9% that's based on tech. Mm. So there are ways around it.
Are you willing to discuss that?
There's another one I was going to tell you about. It's interesting. So, you know, Amazon, as I was saying before, they don't pay anything.
Right.
So we have we found a new industrial REIT that IPO'd in 2018. It's got a really unique portfolio of assets. So it's an industrial landlord, and guess what? Their biggest tenant is Amazon. So this company is called Industrial Logistic Property Trust, ILPT, and we see it as a backdoor to Amazon, who, of course, as we know, is the king of e-commerce. So Amazon doesn't pay dividends, but ILPT yields over 6% with good dividend coverage. Mm. It also has another part of its portfolio. About 40% of its assets are also warehouse and distribution properties in Hawaii, which a lot of the tenants have made improvements on. So they're very entrenched. Hmm. So that, you know, we did a, you know, kind of around the end there, you know, pass to find a way to get paid by Amazon.
Very interesting. And are there other ways of that? I mean, as you mentioned, a lot of these growth stocks, these tech stocks, don't pay anything in terms of dividends. I mean, Google doesn't, right. Apple doesn't, right? So are there, right. Have you found ways to get income from that as well?
Yes. Apple does pay, and they've increased their dividend and so on, but it doesn't track with the enormous price gains that they have.
Right.
But yes, we have other vehicles that will basically be really good for income investors, mm-hmm. and they get a piece of the pie, mm-hmm. for tech. Mm-hmm. The other ways of doing that we've written about in Seeking Alpha quite a bit would be selling options, and that deals with our old legacy service, which is double dividend stocks, where we sell options on dividend paying stocks. Mm. That's another way approach to going after that.
Mm-hmm. Do you look at all have you looked at closed end funds? Because those are also, I mean, they pay.
We have several that we cover in key subsectors and so on.
Going back to the sectors, is there anything that you're particularly excited about right now?
Well, one thing that's interesting is healthcare went from being the darling of the stock market, then from, you know, being put into a corner with the dunce cap on, you know, over the past year and a half or so. And now it seems to have been picking up again over the last, during the last quarter. Mm-hmm. That's very prone to political headlines. And of course, what's going to be a bigger political year than 2020? Yeah. You know, that's tricky. So the market is in a strange kind of swirling place now, as far as sectors, which might be prompting your question, right? Because in the past, say sectors such as energy or basic materials, they've been an interesting go-to place for income investors. But now with the U.S. Energy sector coming to the fore and becoming such a major player. Now there's concern, of course, that some of these companies have too much debt and so on. But there are certainly very viable companies within that sector that we've written about on Seeking Alpha in the past. However, they're tainted with negative market sentiment. Mm-hmm. That being said, an investor, an income investor with a long-term horizon would probably be able to pick up some interesting purchases on those. And in a way, you know, we all worry about black swan events, right, that come. So, for example, you know, you could use two ways of looking at this scenario. For example, if you took, say, the crash of 2008, there were a lot of investors that took their losses and they exited the market for years. So sad to say, they got all the pain and none of the gain. Mm. It was hard, but you know, we stayed in, we gritted our teeth, and you know, people like Warren Buffett say, you know, don't invest until there's blood on the streets. And sometimes that's easier said than done. It's very psychologically tough. Mm. You know, when one sees the portfolio under attack, am I going to go in deeper and so on? But we've found that if you do, and you're fortunate enough to have done the right due diligence and found the right vehicles, you can be very well rewarded. In 2008, we were fortunate enough to pick up some stocks that yielded nearly 20% because of that deep, deep market pullback.
Wow.
And that's been a very rewarding situation ever since. Did all of them work out? No. But enough of them did so that it worked out as a whole for us.
Okay, cool. I want to drill down a little bit more and ask you some more information about this and about your investing styles and get into some stock picks as well. But before we do that, let's take a short break. I am speaking with Robert Halver, who runs the Hidden Dividend Stocks Plus Marketplace service here at Seeking Alpha. You can sign up for the service either by going to seekingalpha.com/marketplace and looking for hidden dividend stocks, or by typing hidden dividend stocks or Robert Halver into the site search bar at seekingalpha.com. Okay, Robert, welcome back.
Hello.
What is something that scares you about the markets or your portfolio right now?
Well, you know, the 2020 could be a very complicated year. I think the big gorilla in the room is the political situation. You know, we have a divided nation, and communications are lightning fast now. In addition to that, of course, there's high speed frequency trading, which can, you know, multiply the effect of some type of news like that. On the other hand, now we're in a low rate environment. It's hard for an income investor to just go out and buy, you know, T-bills and so on because of the low rate. Well, this is something that supports dividend stocks and income vehicles. I mean, they're here to stay. The U.S., you've probably heard, has 10,000 boomers turning 65 every day. So retirees need income to live on, and those who have the funds to invest will need to assemble an income portfolio, which is going to support the type of income vehicles that we invest in.
Okay. So, and there's no concern that some of these income vehicles would sell off if there is some kind of black swan, or there may not even need to be a black swan event, just a recession.
Well, sure. They would definitely sell off. Investors will see their, portfolios go down in value in any kind of pullback. If we had, something that was similar, so let's say to the 20% pullback in 2018. Mm-hmm. But then you look at those income vehicles in 2019 and how they've sprung back, and then certain ones of them have actually beaten the market over the past year, going back, a little bit further.
Is there something that gives you confidence that in your approach, in your portfolio or your investing or otherwise?
Well, just the fact that, a simple fact, people need money to live on in their retirement. And I believe that dividend stocks and income vehicles are the place to be. Mm. There are some people who have, even in their entire retirement, they pursue more of a trading type of strategy where they'll buy something and then trade it in the future for a capital gain, and they'll live off of that. And that's, that's fine and good. It's just a different way of approaching it. Our approach is for passive income. Mm-hmm. A lot of the stocks that we invest in, the majority of their, what would you say, their total return would be in dividends. Mm-hmm. So it's one thing, say, to look at the S&P 500 and say, okay, it's up 24%, year to date. Well, that's great. If you're a trader, that's fantastic. You buy the SPY, ETF and so on, and then trade it. However, if you're a passive income investor, then you would say, well, wait a minute. Yeah, but the S&P yields about 1.9%. Hmm. So how's that going to, do me much good on an income basis? Mm-hmm. So what we try to establish are stocks that whose total return has a decent amount of income involved with it.
All right, let's get into some picks. Let's go back. I want to go back and ask you about this salmon thing. What kind of data were you picking up that made you think to even look into this?
Oh, it's real simple. Nobody wants to croak early.
Okay.
So we're all, as we age, we realize, in one's 20s, you think you're going to live forever, mm-hmm. right? But then, you get into your 50s and, oh, geez, I better start taking care of myself. And as you know, that's very much in the media. Mm-hmm. And so fish has a huge push from the media. So that got me thinking about, what do I buy at the store and so on? Well, there's salmon. It's always there. It's never been there before. It's very, very popular. There's smoked salmon. There's all kinds of derivatives of it. So then, where's this coming from? And then we found, Marine Harvest. So we started out the hidden dividend stocks plus service in the beginning, the end of 2017, the beginning of 2018. I'm happy to say that Marine Harvest, the ticker MHGVY, by the mm-hmm. way, our subscribers are up over 50% as a total return with that stock. It's currently, it yields about 5% or so. Mm-hmm. And they're still going gangbusters. Their biggest operations are in Norway, but they also have operations in the Faroe Islands, Scotland, Eastern Canada, Victoria, BC, and Chile, and Nova Scotia as well. So they're a sprawling operation. Their biggest area of sales would be the European area, but then they're also now allowed to operate in China. Mm-hmm. China and other areas of Asia, particularly Korea and Japan, are very good areas for them. Mm-hmm. as well, as is the U.S.
Right.
Right. You can't go into a supermarket anymore without seeing some forms of fresh farmed salmon.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And it would seem that salmon is one of these very few, I should add, food groups that is kind of immune from fad diets.
Right.
You know, for example, eggs for a long time were unhealthy, and then they were healthy, and then they were unhealthy again. Bacon was unhealthy for the longest time, and then it became healthy, and then it's unhealthy again. On and on. You know, red meat, you can, you know, and there's all these fad diets that, you know, the keto diet, whatever it's called, where you eat all this fat.
Well, it's kind of like gluten, you know.
Exactly. Gluten's the other one. Bread was, you know, when I was a kid, the food pyramid, you know, which I'm sure you're aware of, which had you eating all these carbohydrates. And now, you know, they're saying that that's a terrible idea. But through it all, you know, salmon and fish, and salmon specifically, has kind of been the one safe harbor, if you will, right?
Right. Absolutely.
So that's interesting. But is there any concern that that might change? That next thing you know, there could be something that says, oh, don't eat salmon, it's bad for you.
Well, anything's possible.
Yeah.
You ever saw the Woody Allen movie Sleeper?
Yeah, a long time ago.
He was frozen cryogenically, and he comes back in, right, at the year 2200. And the interviewer says to him, well, here, have a cigarette. We found that they're very good for you.
Right. Exactly. So, okay, that's a good idea, though. And love the fact that it pays a dividend, too. What else? Other favorite ideas that you have?
Well, I think this back door to Amazon is a worthy one. Mm-hmm. What we also do is, and another kind of idea or pathway is, we have a mix of quarterly and monthly payers.
Okay.
As well. And that comes down to cash flow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically. So we kind of mix it up there.
Right.
Some people find that very useful. Then basically there's also things like healthcare REITs can be interesting, but you really got to weed through them to get the right vehicles and so on. One other thought that an avenue we pursued over the years, we've invested in a lot of U.S. community banks.
Okay.
These are your local banks, with, you know, small market caps, and they usually have an outstanding market share of their local community's business.
Mm.
And they're not so they're not so relegated to consumer loans as more to lending to local businesses and so on. Well, the thing that's interesting about them is that they're the safest part of the U.S. banking sector. Hmm. They've had somewhere around 1% or less in defaults, even through the Great Recession and so on. Well, the problem with them is that the community banks often only will yield 2 to 3% or so, something around there, maybe 4%. However, one of the other core investments that we started the Hidden Dividend Stocks portfolio with back in early 2018 is a company called Banx, B-A-N-X. And they're a closed-end fund of sorts who all they do is invest in community banks, preferred shares and debt. And these guys, their banks yields right now it's yielding 7.2%, and they've had a total return in 2019 of about 25% between their various dividends and price gains. That's been a good one for us.
With that, BANX comes up as Stone Castle Financial here on CQ.
Exactly. It's Stone Castle Financial Corp. The interesting thing about them, too, is that their CEO, a man named Josh Siegel, is one of the foremost experts on community banking in the United States, so much so that the government sends agency officials to attend his seminars.
Hmm.
So he's teaching the feds, you know, about the businesses that they're supposed to you know, supervise.
Hmm. Good guy to have in your corner. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And a very, very low profile. So like so many of the things that we've covered, mm-hmm. you won't see a lot of, you know, articles in the mainstream financial press about, you know, BANX.
You certainly won't. And even on Seeking Alpha, you guys are one of few, there's a handful of other people who have covered them.
Right.
But, you know, your most recent article here on the 26th of October.
Right.
And BANX, this it's trading near its 52-week high of $23 per share.
Yeah.
But yeah, nice rally this year. And the yield at current prices is 6.75%. Yeah. And that I would assume that's quarterly.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So that's pretty nice. Okay, cool. Anything else? Any other ideas that you have? You gave us a couple of good ones.
Yeah, I think that's some of the other things we do are like we'll dig around for preferred stocks with that might have a different wrinkle. We found one from a major corporation that was issued in 1948.
Okay.
It's still going strong.
That's like a collectible, yeah.
Yeah, you know, something like that just, you know, it's just kind of odd. Like, whoa, what's that doing here? Or it could be a regional telecom, but it's not so much a telecom anymore. They're turning into more of a tech stock, like a data center stock and so on and so forth. Things like that.
Very interesting. Okay, that's some really good stuff for us to chew on here and hopefully more as readers subscribe to your service.
Right.
Okay, wonderful. If you've been enjoying the Seeking Alpha Marketplace Roundtable podcast, you can subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as anywhere else you find podcasts, by searching for Marketplace Roundtable. You can also give reviews on those platforms to help other investors discover this podcast. Honest reviews only, please. I have been speaking with Robert Hauvner, who runs the Hidden Dividend Stocks Plus Marketplace service here at Seeking Alpha. You can sign up for Robert's service either by going to seekingalpha.com/marketplace and looking for Hidden Dividend Stocks Plus Marketplace service, or by typing Hidden Plus Dividend Stocks or Robert Hauvner into the site search bar at seekingalpha.com.
That's Halver without an N.
Yeah, Halver, sorry. You can also follow Robert on seekingalpha.com and enjoy his free content there. For disclosures, I, Nathaniel Baker, I have no positions in any of the securities mentioned on today's podcast. Robert, how about you?
I have positions in all of the things that I recommend. So, I'm long on the MHGVY and ILPT.
Great. And the banks also?
Yes, banks also.
Very good. All right, well, we thank you all for listening and look forward to speaking to you again next time.